Your Bible with me, turn to 2 Chronicles, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I told Pastor Morris earlier this week that I wanted us to have a time of prayer as we think about the new year and the new year coming in. And there is a passage you'll be mainly familiar with it, but I want to give a little background. Of course, it is Solomon dedicating the temple. And the Ark in chapter 5, the Ark of the Covenant, is brought into the temple. In chapter 6, Solomon begins an address of the congregation. It is a time very special to Israel because prior to this time, they worshipped in the tabernacle, which was a movable building that eventually settled at the site of Jerusalem. Then later on, the temple was built. David had desired to build the temple, but the Lord would not allow him to do that because he was a man of blood. And so David gathered all of the material that would be necessary in the construction of the temple. And then Solomon, his son, was charged with actually building the temple. And of course, when they dedicated the temple, the fire of God came into the temple, the very presence of God came into the holy of holy place, and that was manifest before all the people. But chapter number 7, look if you will please with me at verse number 12. Chapter 7, verse 12. The Bible says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice." Now that's speaking of the new temple as it has already been dedicated. Then God says something interesting, because this is the Lord speaking to Solomon specifically as the head of the nation of Israel. He says this, "If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." Okay, all three possibilities. All three possibilities are very bad. God's people are not immune from bad things happening. In fact, when God judges a nation, the people of God often suffer along with the righteous. That is a principle. We're not immune from suffering. We don't somehow have a get-out-of-jail-free card when it comes to suffering or when it comes to the judgment of God. So he gives some possibilities. Stopping the heaven that there be no rain, that would be a drought situation, or the locusts to devour the land, or pestilence or disease or illness among the people. Verse number 14, though, and I will give you the context, but then I'm going to draw an application. Verse number 14, the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I, the Lord, hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." Now, most of us are familiar with that verse. In its context, interpreted properly, that is a promise given to Solomon regarding the presence of God among the people of the children of Israel, and the idea that when God would bring judgment, if they would turn from their sin, God would hear their prayer and bring healing upon their land. And specifically, the promise is given to Israel. However, this promise by application can apply to God's people in any age. Okay, so if we think about the application of this matter would be this. In every society, God has a people. Remember that not every Jew was a genuine Jew. They may have been a Jew by blood, but they weren't necessarily a Jew by faith. Paul makes that distinction in the book of Romans, and other Jews, by the way, held to that distinction as well. But he says this, those who are true believers, if I'll use that term tonight, if those who are true believers, when God's judgment falls, if they will do certain things, then healing can come to that land. There is the possibility that God will bring a spiritual healing and a physical restoration to that land. Now, what are the qualifiers? There are certain things. It is not just in answer to prayer. Look at verse number 14. He says this, if my people... This is directed at the people of God. Sometimes we have this idea that if America would improve itself morally, that we wouldn't face God's judgment. That is not necessarily true. Sometimes we have the idea that if we could clean up our culture, God would be more pleased. That is not necessarily true. God places the onus for revival and for answered prayer squarely upon the shoulders of His people. It is my responsibility. I am to be a light. This goes back to the idea, and we've talked about this before, of the remnant principle, both in dealing with Israel and in dealing with pagan nations. In certain places of the Old Testament, and it's referred to in the book of Romans, God says this, if there's a remnant of people who are living right and doing the right thing, I will spare that land, or I will stay my hand of judgment. Most famously, I suppose, would be the prayer that Abram prayed in regard to righteous. Would there be a number of righteous found? And God said, yes, in Sodom and Gomorrah, if I can find this many righteous, and then prayed again, or this many righteous, and the number kept lowering down and down. And God said, yes, I will spare for the sake of this many righteous. It is the remnant principle. God's people, though small in number in our culture, hold the key to the preservation of our society. That is why Jesus described us as salt and light. And if God's people fall apart, if God's people become discouraged, if God's people no longer hold to the truth of the Bible and the promises of God, it's at that point that a nation truly is plunged in darkness. So it hinges on my people. It says, if my people, which are called by my name. Now, why would that be there? Isn't it enough just to say my people? God says this, remember, my name is at stake. His people are called by his name. His name is at stake. Anytime the church becomes weak, it weakens the testimony of who God is. Anytime the church becomes unbelieving, it weakens the testimony of who God is. Anytime the church becomes worldly, it weakens the testimony of who God is. So he says, if my people, which are called by my name, and here it is, shall humble themselves. Step number one, personal and corporate humility. Humility before God. Humility that recognizes my own faults and failures. By the way, a humility that repudiates self-righteousness. If you want to know what the best opposite of humility is, someone says, well, the opposite of humility is pride. An even better word would be self-righteousness. A humility that repudiates self-righteousness and says, God, we need you. Sometimes when we prosper, there's the temptation to feel that we don't really need God anymore. It is at that moment that he humbles us. Some people struggle with what is our future in 2021. By the way, don't be one of those people. 2021 is going to be a wonderful year. Jesus Christ may come again. 2021 is going to be a wonderful year. I may be able to suffer for his namesake in 2021. 2021 is going to be a great year. I'm going to face some challenges as your pastor. And maybe the church together will face some challenges. We did in 2020, and we came through those things. And in some ways, we came through them better than we ever were before. But a key to this is this, walking in humility, understanding who God is, understanding who we are, and seeing that again, not just on the pages of the Bible, but seeing it again in our heart. So he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and then he says this, and pray, and pray. Prayer is not the last resort. Prayer is the first resort. It's funny how we are, isn't it? We don't really pray that God will prevent something too much, but we pray that God will fix something that has already happened. This week when I was thinking about this service and it being right on the edge of New Year's, I thought to myself, what a good thing it would be if we pray ahead of the new year. How many, when you think about that concept, how many know that that would have been a good idea for last year at this time? Amen. Amen. Had we known, think about this church, had we known what would happen in 2020, I think we would have called 10 prayer meetings in a row and just begged God, help us get through that. There is a certain grace in the fact that God didn't tell us what's coming. There's a certain grace in that. But now this year, having seen a year of upheaval, this year is an opportunity for us right now to pray and to pray in that new year as we obey the command of God. So it says we're to humble ourselves, we are to pray, and then it says this, and seek my face. Seek my face. What does that mean? That means to really look for God. It's very easy to become automatic in our prayers, to lack passion. The book of James, James tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A prayer that has no passion, a prayer that has no desire, a prayer that doesn't really come against the battlements of heaven, as it were. That kind of prayer is not something that is heard when it's mechanical. The Bible calls that a vain repetition. And some of us get into a vain repetition and we kind of check the box while we pray today. And we say a few magical words and check the box and we say, well, we prayed today. And I suppose, technically speaking, we did, but did we seek his face? Did we look for him? Did we seek to see him in our lives? And that's what that means. And he said, Pastor Monty, how do you do that? On an individual level, it comes when you individually seek to know him. On an individual level, it means that I'm going to bow my head before him and I'm going to look for him with diligence. That is the idea of seek my face. So, humble themselves, pray, seek my face. And then it says, turn from their wicked ways. That is repentance and confession. And every one of us needs that in our lives. Moments when we recognize our own faults and our own sins and our own failures. And those moments, and it should be daily, by the way, when we come before the Lord and we ask the Lord to forgive us. That is getting right with him. It is confessing him. It is a willingness to turn from the things that displease him toward the things that please him. Now I want you to notice something. All of this is upon God's people. So many people will come sometimes in frustration. Sometimes immature Christians do this. They come in frustration. They'll say something like this. Pastor Monty, you know, I prayed about such and such and nothing happened. And it's almost like they're blaming God. Do you see the whole first part of the verse lays some responsibility on you? You cannot just demand something from God having not done the things that he says to do. To humble yourself, to pray, to seek his face, to turn from your wicked ways. Those are things we're responsible for. After those things are accomplished, there is a God in heaven who will hear our prayers. Because note the next word. Then. The timing of revival, the timing of renewal, spiritual renewal, is predicated upon God's people turning from sin and turning to him. It is then what will happen. Will I hear from heaven? At that moment, when God sees that we're serious about him, you say, Pastor Monty, God knows my heart. When I humble myself, pray, seek his face, and turn from my wicked ways, those are all genuine manifestations that I'm serious about him. When God sees that I am serious about him, then God will hear. There is no obligation for God to hear a rebel. There's no obligation for God to hear someone who knowingly is away from him. Then will I hear from heaven, and notice the next words, and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Notice, the condition of God's people spiritually is directly connected to the healing of the land. Now, I want to pause for a moment. It is no coincidence that our Bible uses the word heal their land. In the previous verse, it was said that drought could come, that pestilence or illness could come. In the previous verse, it was mentioned that they would face drought, potentially they would face illness, different things of that nature, pestilence. They would perhaps face a locust plague. Those things are mentioned in the previous verse. All of those things would have been damaging to the land. The word heal, of course, means to remove the divine judgment. But when we think of the word heal, we often think of the word illness and sickness. The question has been posed to me more than a dozen times as our nation has gone through this pandemic. Is this, and here's typically the question, is this from the devil or is this from God? And my answer is this is from China. But it is a legitimate question to ask. And there is a point at which we have to ask ourselves as Christians, is God getting our attention? We could say, now this is based on the book of Job, that God is allowing the devil to be cut loose in our nation in order to get our attention. That's good theology from the book of Job. Where I do not know the source, I do know this, that if the land is sick and needs a healing, the responsibility, the onus, is upon me as a believer to pray, to seek his face, to turn from my wicked ways, and then will we hear from heaven, heal their sins, and forgive their sins, and heal their land. And so tonight, Morris, if you'll make your way to the front, please, we're going to take a time of prayer in our prayer meeting service and think about the verse that I've just talked about. And then think about where we are as a people. You say, Pastor Monty, you know, there's only a handful of people. And if we had thousands of people, God would hear us. No, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If two or three will come, as touching any one thing, they agree, they come in agreement, as touching any one thing, that thing will I do from heaven. There are all kinds of two or three prayer promises. We have way more than two or three tonight. And so as we go to prayer, let's ask the Lord to guide us, to direct us, and ask the Lord to do something for us. All right, Pastor Morris, if you'll come, please.